Hey, Gay. Y'all pray for the wife. She's been pretty sick, very sick. She got the sinus stuff, chest. She's been down, big time. Been to the doctor. She needs to get well.
Cut an onion in half and put it out there on the table. It could have germed the house. Sure will.
See if I can find an onion. Okay, we're in Haggai chapter 1. We got down verse 2. We got about halfway through it. Haggai 1 verse 2 says, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, we went through this pretty hurriedly. We covered, we talked about how the church building is not the house of God. And all ground is holy for the Christian. And you can worship God when you eat, when you drive, when you rest, when you work, when you're mowing the yard. We went through that. In the New Testament, there was not any church buildings until 235 A.D. And before that, they all met in houses. The only time you can call this place the house of God is when it's Christians are inside. Because the house of God now, the temple of God now, is your body if you're saved. And He's in your body, and that's when it's the house of God. And when we leave, it's just a building. But this building is set aside for that purpose.
Right, for the purpose, yeah. It's brought out in John chapter 4, verse 22.
Right. We looked at some of the places that are called houses of God, like Our Lady of the Caves. You know that's not the house of God. Jehovah Witnesses, Kingdom Halls. We looked at all that, how they call those places the house of God. That's not the house of God. The building is not the house of God.
Islamic mosque. Yeah.
All right, now, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, in Haggai chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it's talking about the things that went on back in Ezra chapter 4, when they come in from Babylon after the captivity. They were going to rebuild the city, going to rebuild the temple. That's what they're talking about here. Now, the king ordered the rebuilding to stop, because of the lies of a bunch of Muslims. So what was going on there, the government was telling the people not to build, and God was telling the people to build. And you got a lot of that today. 14 years there was no work on the temple because the powers that be said, "It's stop, we don't want it built. You're not going to build it." But God told them to build it. Now, what do you do when the two conflict? What do you do when the government tells you it's against the law for you to pass out a gospel tract? When God says, be witnesses of me, what do you do? You do what God says and hope for the best.
Amen, brother.
Hope you don't wind up in a labor camp somewhere. That's what you have to do. You may have to go underground and do it. A lot of that's going on now. Witnessing is done underground. It's done in secret because they pass laws to stop it. A lot of countries right now, this book is outlawed. You're not allowed to own one. And if you caught with one of them, it's prison time. In some places, they'll put you to death for it.
Heard on the radio this morning in Kentucky, they're filing a petition to have a cross removed because of the Freedom From Religion organization said it was unconstitutional to have that cross there. It'd been there since like 1800 or something like that. But it was in Kentucky. It kind of caught my eye.
Heading down the tubes. The country's heading down the tubes. Still the best country in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad I live in America. And I hate to see it heading that direction.
Right.
That's the way it's going. Verse 3, Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in the... Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Three powerful words in the scripture. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. He says that again, verse 7. Consider your ways. Look at Deuteronomy 32:29.
Well, it's pretty good context there in verse 6, too.
Deuteronomy 32:29 says, Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. There's the problem. People don't consider what's coming.
That's right.
They don't consider the results of their actions. the people consider that what they are doing is going to end up, they probably do things different.
That's true, brother.
If a man would think that first drink could cause me to be a drunk.
Right.
First drink may cause me to kill somebody in a vehicle accident.
Right.
Or that first drink may bust up my family. Or that first drink may land me in the gutter.
That's right.
Consider your ways.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that they would consider their latter end. If people would consider the latter end, they may change their actions.
Most people live for the moment instead of eternity.
True. True.
That's right.
If a lost sinner would think about his latter end, judgment. You know, one of the worst things that's coming for the future of the unsaved man is the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's going to be rough when he stands before God at the great white throne of judgment. That's going to be rough.
You ain't kidding, brother.
Every idle word.
It'll be a fearful thing.
Every thought, every action, every deed is going to be played out for people to watch. That's going to be a terrible thing for an unsaved man. If he could think about it if he just considered the judgment before mm-hmm. he decided to reject Christ. If he'd consider that hell is real,
right?
Hell is a real place. You know, heaven's real, and
yeah.
we can't describe it. We don't have words to describe
That's
it.
True.
And hell is on the opposite side of the coin. We can't describe that either. I mean, the horrors of hell, it's hard to imagine.
You know, when I was under conviction as a little girl before I got saved, hell was more real to me than heaven was.
Yeah. That's it's good. If a person gets hell scared, a lot of times they'll get saved.
Psalmist said the pains of hell got hold on me.
Right.
When I
got hell scared, I got saved.
Mm-hmm.
But until I got hell scared, I had to brush it right off.
Right.
If people would think about that, they wouldn't just walk out on an invitation. The lake of fire. And the lake of fire is going to even be worse.
Mm-hmm.
Bible says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
Right now, people in hell, they're all suffering the same vengeance right now. They're all suffering the same fire. There's no different degrees right now. But after they're judged and cast into the lake of fire, the degrees of punishment is going to be worse for some than others. And it's even going to be worse in the lake of fire than in hell. And the thing about the lake of fire, after they're put in that place is sealed off. Remember we studied a while back when we was in Genesis, the picture of this universe, down underneath this universe is where the lake of fire, that place is going to be sealed off. Isaiah 66 said the people in there, they're going to be forgotten. They're never going to be, I don't even going to remember them anymore. A man in the lake of fire, he's going to be thinking, they don't even know I'm down here now. They don't even remember me. They don't even consider what's going on down here. That's the way it's going to be. If people would think about that,
mm-hmm.
they may not walk out on invitation. If America had considered her ways, she wouldn't have repealed the prohibition. I mean, you think of the horror and the terror and the disasters and the heartbreak that's happened since they done that. Right now, there's 22,000 to 25,000 people killed a year in DWI, driving while intoxicated, accidents. 20,000 to 25,000 a year because they repealed prohibition. And you know why they repealed prohibition, don't you?
Money.
Tax money.
Yeah.
They wanted money. The bootleggers, they wasn't furnishing, they wasn't supplying like the distillery companies do now. You know, most people made it for their home use and made it for their friends. But see, the government seen tax dollars in this thing, so they repealed it, and you know the results. If America joined the UN and they started backing all these wars,
mm-hmm.
if America had thought about that thing, what it was going to get them into before they got into it, they wouldn't have done that.
Didn't
you
go.
Know why they back wars? Say it again, brother.
Money.
Yeah.
Money. World bankers get filthy rich off of money, off of war. I heard a guy on the news, a congressman, he said they was talking about how that they had killed three of the ISIS big generals and, you know, some of their top people, and they was also excited. And then he said, last year we spent $5 billion fighting ISIS. $5 billion. You know what they done when Japan wouldn't quit, don't they?
Bombs.
Two bombs put an end to it.
Right.
And they've never been a problem since. All they'd have to do is one nuclear bomb over there, and they'd take care of that mess. You know why it don't stop? Money.
Don't want to destroy the oil.
World bankers are getting filthy rich off wars.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, God told his people Israel not to make no league with the nations of the land.
Right.
And he said if they did, he said they'd be thorns in your side.
Yeah.
Now you think about here we've joined the UN. So what can we do?
You know, they try to get us to get out. Some of the politicians, some of the politicians have got half sins.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to get out. But they say if we get out, then these other countries will declare war on us. We'll have to fight
good.
War.
Good. About time we kick somebody butt.
We are the UN, though.
Yeah.
Without us, if you take us out of the UN, it's got no spine.
The world power. Yeah, we're the top ranking world power. Yeah.
Sad thing about America is we don't have no representation. I mean, we're everybody's country but us.
Since UN, look at Korea. Look at the judgment God put on America for doing wrong, making leagues with countries that hate him. Making leagues with countries that hate this book.
Mm-hmm.
Iran.
Now look at this. What happened in Korea? A country no bigger than the state of Texas whipped the number one superpower of the world. We got beat. They whipped us. They run us out. What happened in Vietnam? Same thing.
Yeah.
You say, well, how did that happen? They let the politicians run the war instead of the generals.
Right.
Now, why would they do that? That's judgment from God. God messes somebody's mind up where they can't get everything right the way it's supposed to be done. That's a result of judgment. Look what happened in Iraq. We pulled out of Iraq. Now they're going at it again. Going at it again. The good thing about Iraq, it gave Israel a breath of fresh air for a while. It got them off of Israel's back. And that was a good deal. Afghanistan, we're over there right now fighting a losing war. Or a losing conflict. It's not even considered a war. It's a conflict. We're losing. And we'll probably go in Iran pretty soon. And we'll lose that one too. That's what happens when a country starts kicking its God's book out of the school, out of its offices, and starts letting enemies of Christ, they start letting atheists dictate policy over me and you.
Yeah.
That's what happens. God judges the country.
Well, now, Mike, you mentioned those two, consider your ways. If you look in between there, verse number 6, God's telling them the problem they got.
Yeah, we're going to hit that real heavy here in a minute. The same problem America's got.
Yeah.
Now, America kicked the Bible and prayer out of schools, and they let the atheists dictate policy.
Right.
Now, the Jews didn't consider their latter end. They rejected their Messiah. You know the case. They rejected their Messiah. And that's why Christ wept over Jerusalem. He sat out there and looked over that city, and he wept over them because he knew the results of their action. He knew what it was going to do to them. He knew what it was going to cause. When you reject God, reject his book, judgment's on the way.
That's right.
And that's why Christ wept over Jerusalem. In 70 A.D.,
Titus.
A few years after Christ crucified, Titus the Roman came in. And the first thing he done after they besieged that city and took it, they took 500 Jews and they crucified them outside Jerusalem. They said they lined, Josephus said they lined both sides of the main street to come in Jerusalem. On both sides, 500 Jews, 250 on each side, was crucified down that street. That's a result of crucifying and murdering Jesus Christ.
That's right.
They were scattered for 1,900 years. They were in the ghettos. Germany made them wear yellow stars. And let me make that real quick. Roman Catholic Germany.
Yeah, that's good, bro.
Made them wear yellow stars.
Mm-hmm.
They put them in concentration camps, gas chambers, and 6 million of them died before the thing was over.
That's one of them Al Gore inconvenient truths, sir.
Yeah, that's why Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem. He knew what was coming. And you know what? The worst is yet to come.
Right.
It's not over yet. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, it'll make the Roman Catholic Hitler reign. It'll make it look like a Sunday school picnic when that thing takes place.
Yeah.
You know what the tribulation's called, don't you? Daniel's 70th week.
Jacob's trouble.
The time of Jacob's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That's more judgment against the Jew for murdering the Messiah.
Right.
Over in Daniel, Christ said he's going to make an end of sin. He's going to make an end. He's going to put an end to the sin of the Jews. And he's going to do it in tribulation. And before that thing's over, there's not going to be many Jews left. And that's why you ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah. The war for Jerusalem.
And you ought to hope, and I don't even know if you ought to pray, but for the Lord shorten those days. Because it's going to be a terrible time.
He came to his own, and his own received him not.
But there's one that's going to come after him. They're going to receive him.
Yeah,
and
he said if another comes, yeah,
you'll receive him. That'll be the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Verse 6. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough.
Mm.
You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes.
Mm.
There's a statement on economics back in 520 B.C.
Right.
That's a statement on the economy.
Ungodly.
Israel's economy was in a mess because of their sins against God. You don't sin against God and get away with it. A nation or an individual. Now, that's one of the judgments from God on the U.S. right now. The economy in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the newscast the other night. Rand Paul's on there. He's, mm-hmm. he's running for president. I guess he's still in the game. I don't know. But he said that the United States government was borrowing $1 million per minute. $1 million per minute.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that. And guess who's going to pay that back when it's paid back? Taxpayers. You know, they're pretty lenient with your money.
Right.
When somebody else is putting the bill, they don't think anything about it.
See, it's a joke.
Don't think anything about it.
Our national debt, it shows that we owe $18 trillion.
Right.
But that's not true. It's a lie. That debt clock's a lie. If you look at, but that's how much money we're taking. But if you look at how much money they're already spending, it's already out past it right there. We're like $30 trillion.
That's why they're borrowing $1 million a minute.
Yeah.
To take care of their spending.
You know what would make a difference in that, though, don't you? Little as much when God's in it, and they don't want anything to do with him.
True.
And the biggest thing about verse number 6 is God's not in the equation. He said, your
right.
problem is you ain't considering your ways.
Right. Yeah,
and
right.
if you don't consider me in your
right.
ways, it's what you're going to have.
Now, the USA's gods are money, sex, and education.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't be around very long, you don't figure that out.
Well, they got religion as a god too.
Education. You won't see a politician running for any office that don't mention number one. We got to have this education thing taken
mm-hmm.
care of.
Yeah.
That's all they talk about. Let me tell
you
something. Education without salvation equals damnation.
That's right.
That's just exactly the way it is. You put anybody you want to in college, you send him there lost. Odds are it's damning. He'll come out believing evolution if you don't believe it going in. He'll come out believing that he's the measure of all things. He'll come out believing that this book is just a little book, nothing to it. They study it as a textbook.
Right.
They don't believe it.
Consider fairy tales, yeah.
Well, I witnessed an atheist one time in Mumfordville. He said he went all the way through this Bible in college, down mm-hmm. Western. They took him through Bible, taught Bible. He said, but they taught it just, it's just a book. He said there's nothing to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's your college education.
God winks at that kind of wisdom.
All right, now, God's judged what this country's loved. Look at 1 Timothy 6:10. You ought to know that by heart.
Mm-hmm.
1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money.
Mm-hmm.
Not money. Get that. The love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, there's the first problem, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Look at 17. Now, this is good advice to anybody that's loaded. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded,
right.
nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Jones Sr. made a statement one time. Could be true, half true, probably. He said, you can see what God thinks about money by looking at the people he gives it to. Huh. That's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah.
Real strong statement.
Yeah.
Judgment on the economy because sin against God. Roosevelt took away the gold standard. Kennedy took away the silver standard. The day the American dollar is worth 10 cents. 10 cents. What 10 cents would buy before they took away the gold and silver standard, now it takes a dollar to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Economics. Economic mess. You know, American dollar used to be the world standard for the world. Now they're working on trying to make it the euro. But now they've switched it over. They're trying to make it the Chinese yuan. Yen. What do you call it?
Yen. The Japanese yen, same.
That's what they're trying to make it the standard now. Wonder why all of a sudden it's Chinese money, world standard.
They own.
They own our debt. Yeah. They own most of our debt. And you know, if China calls in their debt, we're in trouble. You say, well, we just won't pay it. What does the bank do when you don't pay your house payment?
Foreclose.
You know what China do if we don't pay them? They demand it, they're going to foreclose. And you know what that's going to lead to, don't you? It's going to lead to war of China against America. They're going to come in and take what's theirs.
Yeah.
Hey, they made a business deal, they're going to take what's theirs.
Yeah, they probably won't even give the United States a chance to file bankruptcy, do they?
No, probably not. When Obama bailed out the bankers and all the financial companies, you know where he got the money, don't you? Borrowed it from China.
Yeah.
Borrowed it from China. Now, China owns most of America's debt right now. They can sink the country if they call in their debts.
I saw something the other day, Brother Mike. Japan's right there close with them. Japan owns almost as much debt as China does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just almost going back and forth.
But at least Japan not communist.
We don't even know who owns about 40% of it at this point because of the drop-off during Putin's thing for seizure of Ukraine. He sold and dropped a large amount to an individual party.
Of our debt?
Bought through Switzerland, I believe. The national bank.
Now you say, what's all this got to do with the Bible? The verse I just read you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Never be satisfied apart from Christ.
That's a statement on economics back in 520 B.C., and it's just as up to date as mm-hmm. the Courier Journal was this morning. That tells you what's going on. That's prophetic. That happened in history, but it's also prophetic what's going on now, and we ain't seen nothing. I just hope this is the year we go home.
Amen,
amen, brother.
I just hope
amen.
We're out of here before the hammer completely falls.
That's right.
The United States sold out Israel for Arab oil. They sold out Israel for Arab oil. All right, so what happens next? An oil well blows up in the Gulf, runs tourism, runs a seafood business, and it runs all the shorelines of Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. But get this, that wasn't an accident. That was a planned deal. They spent billions in cleanup. But guess who bought all the cleanup industry before that? About 2 months before that thing happened.
Tell them, brother.
BP bought them, and the Halliburton bought them. Halliburton is one of the biggest construction companies in the world. When there's a war, and they go in and rebuild a country, these construction companies bid on the job. Halliburton gets it every time.
Tell them who's one of the chief executives of Halliburton.
I don't know about Dick Cheney. I seen that on a newscast a while back. But he sold all his stock in that, supposedly. But he probably don't need the money now. Yeah, brother.
The only way to look at any of this stuff, a lot of this stuff sounds confusing to a lot of people, but the only way to look at all this stuff, money, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, is good and evil. You're either on the good side or you're the bad side. That's
right.
The only way to look at all this stuff.
And tell you something else, too. This is all setting up. This is all getting everything set up for the one world order.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's going to come on the scene and say, I've got the answer to all these problems that the world has. And you know who that's going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have the answers. Book of Daniel says he's going to come in peaceably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's going to come in with all the answers, and it's going to be utopia for 3.5 years. But then when he walks into that temple in Jerusalem, sits down and says he's God, that's when he tells them, you better run to the mountain. You better flee. You
reckon he's going to have an ice cream hat on?
Obama missed his chance of doing that, didn't he?
He's not even in the running.
No, I know.
I got a feeling that Pope's going to be tied into that somehow. I don't know how. I mean, they say this next, and he's a great peacemaker.
When the woman rides the beast, it'll be Islam and Roman Catholics.
Yeah. Wow.
Hasn't that already occurred with that giant supper they had? The feast, what was it called? Feast supper?
I'm not familiar with that.
Obama was seen at a massive rally where they had heads of almost every church affiliate. I mean, like church, you know what I mean? Let's say that term.
Organization, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, pagan faith or whatever. Islam, yeah. The Catholic Church. I'm pretty sure that's also why the Pope has come over to America, too, is to continue this across the aisle interaction.
Cuban.
You know, it's getting everything's getting set up for it.
Yeah.
Everything's getting set up for it. All this stuff we're talking about is Bible prophecy out of verse 6, and there's more of it, a whole lot more of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's getting things set up. That's what the Lord does to a nation who's kicked God out of his schools, out of the federal buildings, and out of the churches. You say churches? Hmm. They kick God out of most churches in this country now.
That's right, brother.
How do they kick God out of a church? First of all, they kick this out.
That's right.
And when that goes out, God goes with it.
Light goes out.
It's just the way it is.
Groping about in darkness, trying to find the light.
7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8. I don't know if I can get through this or not. 7 and 8. We'll go as far as I can go and pick it up next week. Verse 7 and 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, here it is again. Consider your ways.
Mm-hmm.
Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I already told the Jews that in Ezra 5. And in prophecy, that's the rebuilding of the temple before the second advent. It's prophetic, excuse me, of that, before the second advent. Now, according to the Bible, there's going to be a Jewish temple with a holy place in it built on Mount Zion where the Muslim Dome of the Rock is right now.
Mm-hmm.
You say, where do you get that? Real quick, look at Matthew 24:15. Now, when this Antichrist, the man of sin, he's going to have a temple to go into. You see that in 24:15, Matthew 24:15. He's got to have a temple to go into. Matthew 24:15. You know what it says, talking about the abomination of desolation. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place.
Mm-hmm.
Whoso read this, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain. Now he has to have a temple to go into in the tribulation. There is no temple in Jerusalem right now. The site where David bought the threshing floor, where the temple was built the first time, is over there where the Dome of the Rock sits right now. The Muslim Dome of the Rock is sitting right now. They got to have a temple built for that Antichrist to go into. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4.
You're right. Already there, brother.
Read it, brother. Realize.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that's called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Now there's no temple there yet. It was torn down 70 AD and it's never been back since. But they're going to have to rebuild the temple over there. Now, the Mosque of Omar, it's sitting on that site right now. You're mm-hmm. familiar with all that. That place is holy and sacred to the Muslim. And here's why it's so holy and so sacred. They say, there's the footprint in a rock where Muhammad mm-hmm. leaped into heaven.
Yeah. Still falling.
Now, before that, the Catholics were saying that it was the footprint was where Christ stood before Pilate. So that's why that place is sacred to a Muslim mm-hmm. and to a Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman Catholic hierarchy. Most Roman Catholics don't even know what's going on over there. According to the Quran, Surah 17, I looked in my Quran, I didn't find it, but I think there's about 5 editions of the Quran. I only got 1 edition. I read where, according to Surah 17, Surah, S-U-R-A, Muhammad was never in Jerusalem, except when he went there in a dream at night. He went there in a dream. And while he was in that dream, he said he went to heaven on a female horse whose name was Barak.
Obama.
Now, that's not a joke. That's not a joke.
Really?
Obama can't help what his daddy named him.
No.
But he can help what he believes and what mm-hmm. he does. Now, Obama's dad was a Muslim 100%, and he named his son after Muhammad's horse.
That's right.
That's where he got the name.
That's true.
That's where he got the name.
That's sad.
Now, in honor of Muhammad's nightmare in 685 A.D., a Muslim caliph commissioned the building of the mosque. That's when they built that thing. Wow. Now, supposedly there are some hairs in it from Muhammad's beard. That's why it's sacred.
Mm-hmm.
So the dome is considered sacred by Muslims, and they said that they would war and they would kill in order to protect it. They'll strap a bomb on themselves and they'll kill people to try to protect that dome. That's what's going on right now. And that's what the Jews are up against at the present time, and that's what they're going to go up against when they try to rebuild their temple. And they are going to rebuild it. All right, what's their option? What's their options to rebuild? Okay, they can tear down the Dome of the Rock. A man by the name of Rabbi Levi tried that in 1948 when Israel became a nation. He didn't succeed. They can buy the Temple Mountain, tear it down, and then build their temple. Israel offered Islam in 1968 $100 million for that building, and they turned it down. Turned it down. Another option, wait for a natural disaster to tear it down. Another option, they can build a temple on a different site in Jerusalem, but if they do that, they'll violate their scriptures, if they do that. Psalms 2:6, I'll read that hurriedly. Psalms 2:6.
Yeah, it's good, brother.
Psalms 2, verse 6 says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion." That's where it's got to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it was when Solomon was king. That's where it's going to be when Christ comes back and rules this planet. All right, another option they have. Try to rebuild the temple in a joint process, project with Muslims. But you know that ain't going to work either. They're looking at their options. At present, right now, there are two mosques on the Temple Mount, the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Quaisa Mosque. The Jews have been trying to get the Temple Mount back since they became a nation in 1948. 1948, the Vatican stopped them. They stopped all processes in trying to get the temple. In 1967, the UN with America, along with America, put that area under Islamic control. They put it under Islamic control, wouldn't let the Jews in. In the third day of the Six-Day War, 1967, they regained the temple. The Roman Catholics come on the scene, they put pressure on the Jews, and one of their own members, one of their own Jewish leaders, Moshe Dayan, said that his people could not go to the Mount anymore. He stopped them going to the Mount under Roman Catholic pressure. You say, this is not a newscast, it's a Sunday school class. This is prophecy being fulfilled,
right,
folks.
That's good stuff, right?
Prophecy being fulfilled right in front of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Right in front of your eyes. August 15, 1967, Rabbi Shalom Gordon led Jewish prayers on the Mount. The Muslims rose up in arms, almost started a war again in the Middle East. A Jewish man by the name of Rabbi Chief posted notice stopping all Jewish worship on the Mount. Stopped them again. Why? Because it's about to go to war over again. 1983, Rabbi Lahata Getz broke through the western wall into a water cistern while he was looking for the foundations of the old temple.
Mm-hmm.
1984, six men attempted to blow up the mosque. They failed. 1969, an Australian tried to burn down the second mosque. They failed. The Jews are fully prepared to build the temple when the mosques are removed. We'll start right there next week. Right now, they're prepared to build the temple. They've already got the material. They're ready to go. Only thing they need is that place to be removed. However, it's going to be removed. All right, you're dismissed. Sorry, you can't.